This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Sanctions. The sanctions regime are mentioned routinely now when it comes to conflict zones. For Iran, sanctions. For Russia, sanctions. For China, and the question of China's depredations for Taiwan. No sanctions yet, but I welcome Antonia Colobasciano of Geopolitical Futures, a subscription site. She is in Romania, an analysis of the sanctions regime. We're going to apply this especially to Europe and Russia, but everyone adjusts during these periods where you can't be sure if the secondary sanctions are coming your way because you're doing business as usual. You know you're not Russia, but are you doing business with somebody who's doing business with Russia? Antonia, I learned from your most recent column, a very good evening to you. Shipping is a major concern for people now dealing with the shipping industry during the war. How so? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Indeed, shipping is probably the most hit of economic sectors and has been since February. Because the war basically closed down the ports in the Black Sea Basin, in the northern part of the Black Sea Basin. And that basically caused the first questions that the shipping industry had to answer to. What are we doing with the ships that are in an essentially war zone? From then on, with the sanctions, they had to keep tabs with what is going on and what is going to where and what kind of ships are allowed, what kind of seafarers are allowed to be operational, which pretty much increased all costs that were related to shipping, not to mention the way that, ports in the Black Sea, in the southern part of the Black Sea, and this is the Bosphorus especially that I'm talking about, were very much crowded for months. That is essentially better now. However, it is the industry that is taking in so many hits after the pandemic that has also created pretty much the same chaos that we are seeing right now. So the shipping industry was kind of recovering after the pandemic, and then the war hit, so they needed to adapt fast to what was going on and make sure that they are not sanctioned, that they are still operational. Plus, orders were canceled because in the first months of the war, it wasn't really clear what is coming under sanction and what is not coming under sanction. So if you had something loaded that had to do with Russia, you were wondering if that load will actually go to destination or not. So it's kind of a mess.
What about crews, Antonia? Sailors.
Crews. Sailors, well, that is a very important element because obviously they're not sanctioned per se. However, it is increasingly difficult to get Russian sailors working for the shipping industry just because you do not know if that part is going to be, if the labor force is going to first be available. And then if it's going to come under sanction or not. And we're talking about pretty much 10% of global labor force when it comes to shipping, from what I've read, from the reports that I've read. So it's a big chunk that is covered by Russian sailors. Ukrainians as well. So Ukrainians make about 4.5% of total labor force in seafarers, which is also a big chunk, not as big as Russia, but that essentially makes for about 15% of total labor force that is engaged on ships to just not be there, not be available. And we're not even beginning to talk about operations, logistics, and everything else that have to do with loading,
right.
And everything else that has to do with shipping anyways, on the port side.
You also identify the insurance industry, accelerated costs What are they finding about sanctions? Is it a mystery to them? Can they solve it?
Well, first of all, it's not really a mystery, but it is close to mystery, meaning that all insurance needed to develop audit processes for whatever companies that they have as clients. So once the sanction entered into force, and as the sanctions evolved, insurance needed to adapt their lists and make sure that they don't deal with companies that may be under sanction, right? So that also takes into account everything from, you know, basic trading operations to financial operations and so on, which obviously increased operational costs and made some insurance lose some of the clients, because if they did fall under sanctions, they just couldn't be insured anymore. So that was a big loss for the firm insuring them.
Let's move to secondary effects of the sanctions regime and the war. You have a case study of France and Germany. In France, I understand they've accepted a waiver to allow them to put hot water into the rivers from their nuclear power plants. However, this is part of a chain. It's sort of like the shin bones connected eventually to the neck bone. We also have the debate in Germany about extending the life of three nuclear power plants. Is the war straining the system between France and Germany? How do you measure the sanctions regime on Russia, cutting natural gas, leading to what you'd have to say at this point, kinks in the nuclear power industry?
Right. It's really interesting what is going on with nuclear right now, because obviously, France was not prepared to produce more than it does. And because of the war, France was able and pretty much pushing for more production, considering Germany was kind of thinking about getting more nuclear energy from France, considering its dependency that it tries to avoid, the dependency on Russia that it tries to avoid. So, right now, we have France willing to produce, but not able to produce because of the warm weather. We also have France dealing with huge fires today. I was watching earlier a TV station here, and even Romania is sending firefighters to France because of that. So the situation is pretty, how can I say, not even crisis can actually describe what is going on there, because you don't have a way to adapt policies that fast in any country, let alone Europe, which is usually slow. So the war basically shifted the way businesses were conducted. And then the energy crisis that was with us even before the war began got to be more urgent. And in Europe, that also ties into how governments react with policies and how operational those policies are. And right now we are in a crisis mode on two fronts. It's like we are fighting the weather conditions, and we are also fighting the war in Ukraine, which is, you know, never seen before. And yes, it is putting strains. We do not really know what to expect next, because we are also looking at Russia cutting down gas supplies on Druzhba beginning August 4th, for instance. So it is pretty much clear that Russia might cut down supplies to put more pressure on Europe in the months to come. And if that is the case, considering we don't have the capacity to produce more energy internally, I don't know how the winter is going to be, you know? So that's the big question. What capabilities are in place? What can we produce? And where can we get more energy if not Russia? And those are open questions right now.
I'm speaking with Antonia Colobosanu of Geopolitical Future. She is in Romania, the Black Sea Basin, the front lines of the Ukraine conflict, observing how sanctions and the war and the cutback in Russian energy have made the ordinarily very straightforward running of the supply chain and energy production in Europe a question mark that cannot be answered right now or in the immediate future. The climate complicates everything. So does the recovery from the pandemic. When we come back, we're going to look specifically at Russia and also at Romania in these days of unknowns. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.